Blog Talk Radio.
Bible study class, Talk Through the Bible, by Bruce Wickinson. And while, all right, and at this time, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening and Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So we're going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Lady Nadine. How are you this evening?
God bless you, too. I am doing great. Thank you, Lord. Healing power, Jehovah Rapha, and just so grateful to God to have gotten me through this surgery and up to this recovery point, which I just thank Him for. And so we're going to going to our lesson today. So
amen.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, again, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, for being Jehovah Rapha, Lord God, for being our healer, Lord God, for being our all in all. You're everything, Lord God. You are everything to us, and we love you for that, Lord God. Lord God, we welcome you into this lesson today, Lord God. All that we hear, all that we read, Lord God, is to edify us, Lord God, so that we can know you more and more, Lord God, so that through us knowing you, Lord God, we can become more and more and more like you, Lord God. So we thank you for this, your word, Lord God. As I say to the children, that the Bible is a love story. It's a love story, Lord God, that you wrote just for us. So we thank you for that love, Lord God. We thank you for the reconciliation, Lord God, that we've seen all through the Bible as we go through the books of the Bible, where we can see Jesus in every aspect of the Bible, Lord God. Because, Lord God, you had a plan from the minute that Adam and Eve became disobedient to sin, Lord God. You had a plan from that very minute to reconcile us back to you, Lord God, through your son, Jesus Christ. So we thank you, Lord God. We praise you. And we do, again, welcome you into this class, Lord God. Open up our hearts. Open up our minds, Lord God, so that we can receive what it is that you want us to receive in these lessons. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay. So, we are now in the book of Ephesians as we work our way through
Amen.
The books of the Bible. And so we're going through, of course, we know we're talking about the Pauline epistles, because all of these are the letters that were written by Paul, and, you know, he wrote a huge part of the New Testament, and we just thank God for Paul. We thank God for Paul being the one, you know,
yes.
Came to save us, the Gentiles, you know. I mean, God summons him specifically because he loves us so much to bring us into the fold for our adoption into the family of God. So we just thank God for Paul, and we thank God for Paul's work and his letters to the churches.
Amen.
So we're going to begin with Ephesians. There's just some areas where I just want to break down how Ephesians has been broken down. Ephesians has been broken into two specific parts. It's the position of the Christian and the practice of the Christian. The position of the Christian goes from the first chapter to the third chapter, and the practice of the Christian goes from the fourth chapter to the sixth chapter. And we're going to go through these divisions. But the position of the Christian is broken up into four sections. The first section is praise for the redemption, then praise for the revelation, the position of the Christian, and prayer for the realization. And those four parts are under belief. It's the belief and it's the privileges of the Christian. Because we have great privileges as being Christians. And then there's part two deals with the unity in the church, holiness in life, the responsibilities at home and work. This is the practice of the Christian. This is the thing mm-hmm. that we're supposed to be doing as Christians, and our conduct in a conflict. So this second part talks about the behavior of the Christians and the responsibility of the Christians. So the first part is about belief, you know, believing in Christ, and what privileges we get as Christians. But then once we have that belief and we have those privileges, there's a responsibility for us, which is reflected in our behavior. And all this letters, these letters was written, took place in Rome, and it was between, you know, AD 60 and AD 61 that Paul wrote the letter. So now we get into the introduction. So Ephesians is addressed to a group of believers who are rich beyond measure in Jesus Christ, yet living as beggars, and only because they are ignorant of their wealth. So what type of wealth are we talking about here? Let's see. So since they have yet to accept their wealth, they relegate themselves to living as spiritual paupers, as poor, as being spiritually poor.
Why?
Paul begins to describe in chapters 1 and 3 the content of the Christian's heavenly bank account. He begins to explain to them that you're not poor. You are wealthy. You have, there's a spiritual wealth that we have as Christians. He goes on to explain the adoption, the acceptance, the redemption, the forgiveness, the wisdom that we have, and that we have, the inheritance that we get, the seal of the Holy Spirit, our life. He talks about grace and he talks about citizenship. Okay, there's a prescription for me too there, a vitamin D. My doctor just called it in also. He said my vitamin D levels were so low. The code is at 8. 7:15. In short, he talks about every spiritual blessing. So drawing upon that huge spiritual endowment, the Christian has all the resources needed for living to the praise of the glory of his grace. So, I mean, when you look at it that way, right? Mm-hmm. When we talk about our heavenly bank account, how does that make you feel?
Well, I mean, like, we may be, for me, I'm poor down here on earth. But when I go to heaven, I am going to be so rich and in spirit, just to be sitting up there just hearing the words of the Lord speaking to us. That makes me very rich.
But what Paul is saying is that we're not poor down here either.
Well, we're not poor, poor.
Our spiritual bank account, the fact that we have all of this to tap into here. Because remember, he's talking to the feet. He's not telling them about, he's saying they're living as hopers. They're living as beggars. And even here, you know, God provides all our needs.
Right.
So when we look at what God provides for us here, all of our needs, there's not one of us who is poor, right? Because he provides all our needs. And we may not get everything that we want, but we definitely have what we need.
Everything that we need, yes.
So that's like an unlimited, that's a limited feeling of having a full bank account, right?
Yes, yes.
Knowing that you have a roof over your head. These are the needs that, this is what he's trying to let these Ephesians know, that you're not a pauper, you're not a beggar, you know.
Exactly.
Because we have all of these things that God is providing for us right here, right now.
Yes.
With also, in addition to that, the hope of eternal life, that in itself makes us rich in spirit, right? So it says, drawing upon the huge spiritual endowment that Christian has, all the resources needed for living. That's basically saying all the resources that we need for living. And this is why we to pray to the praise of the glory of his grace. And then it goes on that in chapters 4 and 6 resembles an orthopedic clinic where the Christian learns a spiritual walk rooted in his spiritual wealth. For we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works that we should walk in them. So that's why they say orthopedic, because you know you go to orthopedic clinic, they're interested in how you, you know, doing physical therapy, how you walk.
Right.
So we have a spiritual walk in Christ, right? For the works that we do, and how we walk in those works, right?
Yes.
In those things. And we're going to read these scriptures, but I'm just going over the introduction. So the traditional title of this epistle was called Paul's Epistios, to the Ephesians. Many ancient manuscripts, however, omitted Epheso in Ephesians. In chapters 1, verse 1, and I'll read that where Paul says, it's a greeting, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus. This has led a number of scholars to challenge the traditional view that this message was directed specifically to the Ephesians. The encyclical series proposes that it was a circular letter sent by Paul to the churches of Asia. It is argued that Ephesians is really a Christian treatise designed for general use. It involves no controversy and deals with no specific problems in any particular church. This is also supported by the formal tone, where he had no terms of endearment and the distance in his phrasing. Like he would say, after I heard of your faith in 1:15, if they have heard of his message. In other words, these things seem inconsistent with the relationship Paul must have had with the Ephesians after a ministry of almost 3 years among them. On the other hand, the absence of personal greeting is not supported. So the only letters that greet specific people in all of his letters are Romans and Colossians, and they are addressed to churches Paul had not visited. Some scholars accept an ancient tradition that Ephesians is Paul's letter to the Laodicean church, but there is no way to be sure. If Ephesians began as a circular letter, it eventually became associated with Ephesus, which is one of the foremost of the ancient churches. And that's it. So that's that stuff. So the author, so all internal and external evidence strongly support the Paul authorship of Ephesians. So we know for sure, Paul wrote it. In recent years, however, critics have turned to internal grounds to challenge this anonymous ancient tradition It has been argued that the vocabulary and its style are different from other Pauline epistles, but this overlooks Paul's flexibility under different circumstances. So that doesn't really hold. The theology of Ephesians in some ways reflects a later development, but this must be attributed to Paul's own growth and a meditation on the church as a body of Christ. Since the epistle clearly names the author in the opening verse, it is not necessary to theorize that Ephesians was written by one of Paul's pupils or admirers, such as Timothy or Luke or Titus or Onesimus, who were written by people who followed Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And then the date and the setting goes on to say, at the end of this second missionary journey, Paul visited Ephesus, where he left Priscilla and Aquila, which is going to go after, that's an act,
mm-hmm.
Where he left Priscilla and Aquila. So it's Acts 18, let me just read this quickly. Acts 18, 18 through 21. And so Paul, where it says, Paul, after remaining many days long, said farewell to the brothers and sailed away to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila. He shaved his head in Cenchrea because he had taken a vow. So they arrived in Ephesus, and those he left behind there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and discussed with the Jews. And when they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not give his consent, but saying farewell and telling them, I will return to you again if God wills. And he set sail from Ephesus. So in other words, he took Priscilla and Aquila went with him to Ephesus, and he left them there.
Oh.
I guess to maintain the church at Ephesus.
Mm-hmm.
So this strategic city was a commercial center of the Asia Minor, but heavy silking required a special canal to be maintained so that ships could reach the harbor. Ephesus was a religious center as well, famous especially for its magnificent Temple of Diana, which is a Roman name, or Artemis, which is a Greek name, a structure considered to be one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. This big, magnificent Temple of Diana.
Well,
or was also called Artemis. So Artemis. So it says in Acts 19:35, it makes reference to this building. It says, and when the city secretary had quieted the crowd, he said, Ephesian men, for who is there among men who does not know the Ephesian city is honorary temple keeper of the great Artemis. So this temple was a great temple there in that place in Ephesus. So, but the practice of magic and the local economy were clearly related to this temple. So they did magic and stuff in this temple.
Mm-hmm.
Paul remained in Ephesus for nearly 3 years on his third missionary journey, and the word of God was spread throughout the province of Asia. Paul's effective ministry began to seriously hurt the traffic in magic and the images, leading to an uproar in the huge Ephesian theater, right? So now you have Paul is there. Now this big magnificent temple, which is known for its magic. You know, people went there for magic. I guess they do spells and all kinds of stuff like that. Oh. And now here Paul is in Ephesus 3 whole years, and he's spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So what does that do to the magic?
it disrupts the magic, because now the people believe that, you know, what they're doing is evilness. It's not, you know, is not of Jesus Christ.
Right. So they're like, what? There's a big uproar. So this huge famous theater is being like disrupted. So then he left and he went to Macedonia. But afterwards he met with the Ephesian elders while on his way to Jerusalem. And if you can get, let's see what they said, in Acts 20, 17, hold on, I'm sorry. This is probably my medicine. Hold on. Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah.
You have
hello.
Acts 20 verses 17 through 38.
Okay.
So it 20. Says Paul then left Macedonia, but afterwards he met with the Ephesian elders while on his way to Jerusalem. So let's see what they said.
Okay. But when we landed at Miletus, he sent a message to the elders of the church at Ephesus, asking them to come and meet him. When they arrived, he declared, "You know that from the day I set foot in the province of Asia until now, I have done the Lord's work humbly and with many tears. I have endured the trials that came to me from the plots of the Jews. I never shrank back from telling you what you need to hear, either publicly or in your home. I have had one message for Jews and Greeks alike, the necessity of repenting from sin and turning to God, and of having faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I am bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about the wonderful grace of God. And now I know that none of you to whom I have preached the kingdom will ever see me again. I declare today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, it's not my fault. For I did not shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. So, guard yourselves and God's people. Feed and shepherd God's flock, his church, purchased with his own blood. over which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as elders. I know that false teachers, like vicious wolves, will come in among you after I leave, not sparing the flock, even some from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following and care over you night and day. Sorry, I didn't see you come back. Okay.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. So I'm at 30. Even some men from your own group will rise up and distort the truth in order to draw a following. Watch out. Remember, the 3 years I was with you, my constant watch and care over you night and day, and my many tears for you. And now I entrust you to God and the message of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance with all those he has set apart for himself. I have never coveted anyone's silver or gold or fine clothes. You know that these hands of mine have worked to supply my own needs and even the needs of those who were with me. And I have been a constant example of how you can help those in need by working hard. You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You said up to 38, right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's 36.
Oh, okay. So I think we can stop there because, Paul was just giving us, it was just a bunch of what happened after he had left Macedonia. But afterwards, he met with the Ephesian elders while on his way to Jerusalem. So that's
right.
His explanation to them. But Paul also wrote the prison epistles. So the prison epistles, he calls in, is Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. And also during his first Roman imprisonment, which happened in AD 62. So these epistles all refer to his imprisonment when, you know, Ephesians 3 and 1, Ephesians 4 and 1, Ephesians 6 and 20. All of these refer to his imprisonment. Ephesians 3, I'll just go through them. Ephesians 3 and 1 says, on account of this, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ, Jesus Christ, for the sake of you Gentiles, for these verses imprisonment. 4 and 1, he says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord. So he talks about him being a prisoner of the Lord. Exhort you to live in a manner worthy of the calling which you were called. So he's encouraging them to live in a manner worthy to what where they were called. And because we're going to go through all of these scriptures anyway. And then he says in 6 and 20, for the sake of which I am ambassador in chains. Again, referring to his, you know, the times that he's been actually in chains, that in them I may speak freely as if it is necessary for me to speak. So this is why they, you know, they call these the prison epistles, because he refers to himself as being a physical prisoner in prison, but also a prisoner of the Lord, right? Because he's working through his love. He's a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And sit well against the background. And when he goes into, when we just, I think it was 28, 16 to 31. Did we just read 28?
Acts 20.
Right, so Acts 28, 16 to 31. So all of this fits right into, against the background of Acts 28, 16 to 31. We should probably get into that one, too.
Yeah.
Which I can. Let's see, let me go to Acts. Is Sister Barbara here? Because she said she was coming.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh. I'm here all the time.
Okay, praise God. Let's read Acts 28:16-31. Sister Barbara, can you read that in your message Bible, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
Acts 28. What verses?
16 through 31.
Okay. My stars at 14.
Okay.
And then he came to Rome. Friends in Rome heard we were on the way and came out to meet us. One group got as far as Appian Court. Another group met us at Three Taverns, a motion-packed meeting, as you can well imagine. Paul, brimming over with praise, led us in prayers of thanksgiving. When we actually entered Rome, they let Paul live in his own private quarters with a soldier who had been assigned to guard him. 17. 3 days later, Paul called the Jewish leaders together for a meeting at his house. He said, the Jews in Jerusalem arrested me on trumped-up charges. and I was taken into custody by the Romans. I assure you that I did absolutely nothing against Jewish laws or Jewish customs. After the Romans investigated the charges and found there was nothing to them, they wanted... They wanted to set me free, but the Jews objected so fiercely that I was forced to appeal to Caesar. I did this not to accuse them of any wrongdoing or to get our people in trouble with Rome. We had enough trouble through the years that way. I did it for Israel. I asked you to come and listen to me today to make it clear that I'm on Israel's side, not against her. I'm a hostage here for hope, not doom. They said, nobody wrote warning us about you, and no one has shown up saying anything bad about you. But we would like very much to hear more. The only thing we know about this Christian sect is that nobody seems to have anything good to say about it. Up to what verse?
Oh, up to 31.
Okay. Thank you. They agreed on a time. When the day arrived, they came back to his home with a number of their friends. Excuse me. Paul talked to them all day, from morning to evening, explaining everything involved in the kingdom of God and trying to persuade them all about Jesus by pointing out what Moses and the prophets had written about him. 24. Some of them were persuaded by what he said, but others refused to believe a word of it. When the unbelievers got cantankerous and started bickering with each other, Paul interrupted. I have just one more thing to say to you. The Holy Spirit sure knew what he was talking about when he addressed our ancestors through Isaiah the prophet. Go to this people and tell them this. You're going to listen with your ears, but you won't hear words. You're going to stare with your eyes, but you won't see a thing. These people are blockheads. They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look. So they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. 28. You've had your chance. The non-Jewish outsiders are next on the list. And believe me, they're going to receive it with open arms. Paul lived for 2 years in his rented house. He welcomed everyone who came to visit. He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. His door was always open. Amen.
Oh, wow. Yes. Woo. Oh, my goodness.
That was awesome.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Amen.
So this is especially true of Paul's references to the palace guard, the governor's official residential guard who stayed there with Paul, and Caesar's household. Some commentators believe that the imprisonment in one or more of these epistles refers to Paul's Caesarian imprisonment, you know, Caesarian imprisonment, or to the hypothetical Ephesians imprisonment. But the weight of the evidence favors the traditional view that they were written in Rome. Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon were evidently written about the same time, in the AD 60 and 61. Philippians was written later, AD 62, not long before Paul's release. Okay. And then the theme and the purpose. The theme of Ephesians is the believer's responsibility to walk in accordance with his heavenly calling of Christ Jesus. And that's in 4:1, where Paul says, therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, exhort you, encourage you, to live in a manner worthy of the calling with which you were called. Ephesians was not written to correct specific errors in the local church, but to prevent problems in the church as a whole by encouraging the body of Christ to mature in him. It was also written to make believers more aware of their position in Christ, because this is the basis for their practice on every level of life, understanding what your position in Christ. So it matches your practice, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's some key verses in Ephesians. The key word is building the body of Christ. So if you can get Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 10, and Sister Barbara, Ephesians 4, 1 and 3. These are some key verses.
Okay. 8 says, God saved you by his grace. When you believe and you cannot take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus, so we can do the things, the good things he planned for us long ago. Amen.
Okay, so that's where we find that. For by grace you've been saved, not of yourself. It's a free gift from God.
Amen.
And Sister Barbara?
You said 4, verses 1 and 10?
1 through 3.
1 through 3, okay. The topic is to be mature. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, excuse me, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run on the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, excuse me, not in fits and starts, but steadily pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences, and quick at mending fences. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we're going to close there. We will start with the key chapter next week. The whole chapter 6,
mm-hmm.
is the key. So,
okay.
That is Ephesians. Praise God.
Praise
wonderful.
God.
Want to pray us out?
Ida.
Okay, Evangelist.
Loving Father, once again, we come as humble as we know how. Thanking you, Lord God, for this lesson that we are now starting to learn about Paul's missionary work in Ephesians. Lord God, we ask that you continue to touch us in a mighty special way. Open up our ears to hear our hearts to perceive and our eyes to see what thus says the Lord. Let mm-hmm. your will be done in each and every one of our lives, Lord God. Bless this ministry. Bless this Bible class, Lord God. Bless our pastor, First Lady. Bless Bolden. Our farmers, Barbara. Bless Jake, Brother Jake. And bless Brother Steve, Stephen. Belinda and her daughter and grandson, Lord God. Bless my family. Touch each and every one of us in your own special way. Let your will be done, Lord God, and guide us in the way that you would have us to go. Let it be all about you and not about us. We thank you. We love you. We honor and adore you. You are our everything. And if it wasn't for you, we would not be in existence. So, Lord God, we ask and we love you and to continue to guide us in your will. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
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 Thank
amen.
You for that.
Amen. Remember, we're not hopeless. In the Lord.
What happened?
I said, I don't know if you said it at the beginning, but Paul wanted to explain to the Ephesians that they're not paupers. They're not begging.
Yeah,
we're
not paupers.
In the Lord.
Exactly.
We are rich in the Lord. And it's happening right now. It's not what we, we don't have to wait till eternal life, although that is the ultimate hope. But here on this side, we are rich in the Lord, all of our needs are being cared by God.
So. Praise God. And some of our wants.
Mm-hmm. And some of our
And he sees fit that he wakes us up every morning to spread his word. Spread his word to those who don't know him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you, ladies. I enjoyed both sessions. Love you much.
Oh,
beautiful
love
ladies, both.
Love you, too, and thank you.
Thank you. You're so welcome. I don't think I'll be with you on Sunday. I was called to do some theatrical work, and I don't think I'll be back in time. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Boy, I was following you about in your pocketbook because you just be out there.
Praise God.
Yes.
Love you all.
Love you too, ladies. Have a good night.
Okay.
Shalom. And we are out on All Belongs.
All the honor. Belongs to you.
Thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.